Our study tonight is out of Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, through chapter 6, verse 3, the cause and cure of prolonged immaturity. Christians who have recently trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation are understandably immature in the faith. We would expect them to be. However, many Christians suffer from prolonged immaturity, and the cause and cure of such a problem is given in Hebrews 5, 11 to 6, 3, a passage that we view for our correction and edification, as the case may be. There are Christians whom I've known who really haven't walked any further than when they were first saved. And they've been Christians for 30, 40 years. Just little babies, spiritual babies. And they're still dealing with just some of the basics. And so this is a genuine problem that we face. So before we get into the ministry of the Word, I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you have given us to gather here tonight. We ask for wisdom as we get into the Word of God and insight and direction from the Holy Spirit to take the Word of God and apply it and use it as we may need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me read the passage and then we'll look at it in depth. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning at verse 11. Of whom, and of course he's talking about Jesus, the high priest, in chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing that you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And it becomes such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is but a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason of exercise or experience have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, or leaving the elementary things of the Christ, let us go on to maturity, or perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permit. Okay, what's going on here? Though the author of Hebrews had begun to write on the great and very meaty and incredibly important subject of Christ's high priestly ministry in Hebrews chapter 5, 1-10, the immaturity and sluggishness of his audience made him wonder how much exposition they could even digest. So he addressed the problem in the parenthetical section that we have in front of us, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 to 20. 11 to chapter 6, verse 20, I'm sorry. I'll have to put that in. It's not 5, 11 to 20, but it's 5, 11 to 6, 20. I'll have to correct that when we get into the website. Now, Hebrews 5, 11 to 14 describes the cause of such prolonged immaturity, and Hebrews 6, 1 to 3 tells us of its cure. Prolonged spiritual immaturity arises from a threefold failure. The lack of using one's time to increase his knowledge of Scripture in order to apply it to discern between deeper levels of good and evil in one's life. And that's in verses 11 to 14. The author of Hebrews claimed that he had many things to reveal to his readers about Christ and his high priestly ministry, but that he was hindered from doing so effectively by the reader's slowness to learn these spiritual truths. Verse 11, "For whom we have many things to say, hard to be uttered, seeing that you're dull of hearing." There have been times, for example, I remember a number of years ago, there was a Christian, I was going through prophecy, and the Christian asked me about, well, the Bible doesn't talk about the resurrection of people in the millennial kingdom, people who died during the millennial kingdom, so when are they raised? And I said, since the Scripture doesn't talk about it there, we believe that they would be raised at the end of the millennial kingdom. Well, this person, for the next several Sundays, asked me the same question, and so I answered it. And, in fact, this has gone on for about 7 years, and the person has still, in fact, this year has asked me the same question again, and I answered it again. There's a block there that's not getting through. So this is a very real need that exists. And I'm not complaining, I'll answer the question all day long, but it shows that what concerns me is the fact that they're not getting it. And it's a very simple thing. But anyway, the author of Hebrews claimed that he had many things to reveal to his readers about Christ and his high priestly ministry, but he was hindered from doing so effectively by the reader's slowness to learn these spiritual truths. Their prolonged immaturity had come from the reader's failure to utilize their time. Now that's very interesting. You notice verse 12, for when the time you ought to be teachers. See, God recognizes that you don't just grow up overnight. You don't accept Christ as your Savior on Monday and then you're a mature Christian on Wednesday. It doesn't happen that way. It's like an oak tree. You plant a little acorn and it takes 30 years, you know, for the tree to grow. But we should see progress within a couple of years, in 10 years and so forth. There should be a progress, and that's what God's interested in. Well, their prolonged immaturity comes from their failure to utilize their time and then to get to know Scripture and to become teachers of its truths by applying it to life when all they could still handle was basic truths as babes in Jesus Christ. You notice verse 12, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's just a babe. So there's an emphasis on usage and experience. I'll never forget, we had a prof in seminary, Dr. Walkie. Bruce Walkie is a Hebrew prof, and he seemed to know so much information about the Bible. And one day, one of the students just raised his hand and asked him, and said, Dr. Walkie, how come you know so much? And just like that. And Dr. Walkie looked somewhat surprised because he had never thought about that. And he said, well, I know what I do. Every time I learn something, I try to apply it immediately in my life, and then it becomes part of me. And I thought, that's a great lesson. He didn't sit down trying to memorize stuff. He just made it a part of his person. When you make it a part of your person, you do it. It's like a cook. A cook innately knows how to use salt and sugar and butter, and you don't have to ask the cook, well, how can you remember that? The cook says, well, because I do it all the time. You know, I use that stuff, and that's the way I cook my cookies, or that's the way I cook the potatoes, or whatever. Same with the Christian life. We have to apply it to our lives. If we don't, we're like babes. I put the passage 1 Corinthians 3:1-2, where the Apostle Paul says in that passage, and I'll look at it just briefly here. 1 Corinthians 3:1-2, I, brethren, I couldn't speak unto you as to spiritual, but as to carnal, that's fleshly, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with meat, for until now you weren't able to bear it, neither are you still able. Now it's interesting, a baby can't handle meat. He doesn't have teeth. He doesn't have the strength to chew. He's not used to swallowing solids like that. Baby handles meat, milk. But after a while, the child should grow to the point, gets teeth, where he can convert. He doesn't deal with pablum and stuff. He can actually eat solid food, including meat. So meat, when a person gets to eat meat, of course, there are a lot of nutrients and vitamins and so forth there. But when he gets to the point where he can eat meat, he demonstrates a degree of maturity. Same with the Christian life. Now, in contrast, the mature believers are those who have used their time to get to know the Bible, have applied it in their lives to discern between increasing levels of good and evil. Notice verse 14. But strong meat belongs to them that are full age, even those who by reason of experience or application have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. One of the marks of an immature Christian is that he's not at the point where he can understand higher levels of evil. He may not even understand higher levels of good. That's something we have to do. A person matures in Christ when he gets to discern that there are higher levels of evil out there and higher levels of good. And he needs to discern between the good and the evil, so he begins practicing that which is good versus that which is evil. I'm trying to think of an illustration in regards to this. Oh, about eating bacon. Now, we know as Christians that we have the right to eat bacon. Just because it's pork doesn't mean that we have the bad diet. Okay? And there are Christians who will know, yeah, we can eat pork because, you know, like God had all these unclean animals for Peter to eat, he can eat it. But if you grow on in the Christian maturity, you recognize that bacon also has a lot of ingredients in it that are not necessarily that healthy. So if you have a steady diet of that, it can be a problem. In fact, if you drink coffee with bacon that has the nitrates in it, it actually produces carcinogens. They say if you're eating bacon, the way to is to drink orange juice, because orange juice holds the carcinogens in suspension to pass out of the system. But a person who's really conscious about his health will watch the bacon, not because he can't eat pork. He knows he has the right to eat pork, but because there are problems with the bacon itself. Now, there are some weak Christians that haven't gotten to that point. I have the right to eat bacon because, you know, I can eat pork, and so away we go, and away they eat it. So there are different levels of good and evil, and we have to watch out for that. Well, to solve this problem of prolonged immaturity, the author of Hebrews urges readers to cease being preoccupied with elementary doctrines about Christ that lead to dead ritualism, that they might mature. Hebrews 6:1 called the readers to leave the basic doctrines of Christianity to go on into maturity. Now, we have to be very careful here, because it looks like someone could interpret this by saying we're supposed to do away with the basic doctrines of the Christian faith. That's not so. Or even the basic doctrines that were behind Judaism, because some of those doctrines are very good. In fact, the ones that he lists here about repentance from dead works, faith towards God, baptisms, laying out of hands, resurrection from the dead, and eternal judgment, those are all things that we believe in. In fact, those are things that are taught in Judaism even to this day. But we get into a difficulty if that's our only focus, because then we don't grow. And we'll get into this as we apply to the Christian life. This did not mean then that one of us to deny such basic doctrines as true, but to cease being preoccupied with them to the extent that they could not grow in the knowledge of Scripture's deeper truths. Namely, the readers were to avoid laying a foundation again of beliefs and repentance from acts that lead literally to dead works. Namely, a faith in God, instruction about baptisms, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Now, these are not beliefs that were necessarily hung up, but these were beliefs that Jews in Judaism were hung up on. Now, since the dead works expression seems to refer to the Levitical ritual and of the Judaistic cult that was luring the epistle's readers to abandon Christ, it's used in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. It seems to refer to Levitical rituals. The author of Hebrews was warning against a deadened form of ritualism that was typical of ritualistic Judaism. So the author asserted that God permitting, his readers would indeed leave these dead Judaistic ritualisms, leaving a focus on truths to go, on basic truths, to go on in their knowledge of God's word. So that's why he wrote in verse 3, "And this we will do if God permits." Now, I decided in the lesson material itself to apply this to us in the Christian church, because we're probably not at all lured or tempted to be lured to go into Orthodox Judaism. There are a lot of practices in Orthodox Judaism that we wouldn't be comfortable with. Wearing the little skull cap that they wear and practice and getting involved in the Passover meals and so forth. I mean, that's foreign to us. However, we have our own type of Christian ritualisms. I like to call them evangelical ritualisms. We Gentile Christians may not be lured to enter ritualistic Judaism that is culturally foreign to us, opposite the Hebrew recipients of the Epistle to the Hebrews. And remember, Hebrews 1:1 says that they were Jews, that were Christians that were receiving this epistle. But we face Christianized ritualism that highlights getting saved and baptized, reading the Bible, praying, going to church, giving to the church, and missions and witnessing. In fact, there are some Christians, they think that the Christian faith is entirely composed of getting saved, baptized, reading the Bible, praying, going to church, putting money in the offering plate, and witnessing. That's it. That's the full extent of their Christianity. I know that because I've come from it. My wife and I have come from that too. And you start talking about the high priesthood of Christ and say, "What? What are you talking about? No one ever preaches on that around here. After all, knowledge puffeth up." You know, that's the big challenge that they give. Well, a preoccupation with these basics versus growing in Bible knowledge and its use hinders the growth of huge realms of huge conservative Christians today. I know of many, many Christians and lots of conservative Christian churches who love the Lord, they're saved, they're baptized, they're attending church regularly, they're putting money in the offering plate, maybe even sacrificially, they're praying, they're reading the Bible, but that's it. They've been doing that for year after year after year. No real spiritual growth. They don't see the depths, the truths of God in the various Psalms, or appreciate what God did in David's life in this situation or that. I mean, there's so much to the Bible that we can use to grow on, and very few Christians, sadly, are actually growing in these areas. And so they get locked into that legalism. So the lesson is prolonged immaturity is caused by a preoccupation with true but basic beliefs versus learning Scripture's depths and applying them in our walk so as to discern higher levels of good and evil. We must thus cease a preoccupation with basic truths and learn and use the depths of Scripture to mature. Once again, we're not saying that we're going to do away with basic truths. I mean, getting saved is very important. Baptism, that's what the Lord commanded. Reading the Bible and praying, I would encourage that as well. Attending church, the Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. So we should go to church. Giving to church and missions, sure. Witnessing, great. But there's a whole lot more to the Christian life than just that. Those are just basic. Those are just elementary things. So may we cease focusing on just basic truths and grow in learning and applying the Word of God.